Suppose you only ate food from McDonald's. You wouldn't eat food from anywhere else. And you decided this for some reason. You wanted to be true to McDonald's, or you appreciated what McDonald's did for you, or you had a special place in your heart for McDonald's fries, so you decided you're only going to eat at McDonald's. And this feels good. This sounds good to you, so you make this decision. And then you consider what repercussions, what effects this would have on your life. So you'd have to be close to a McDonald's whenever you wanted to eat, for one thing, right? You couldn't get too far away. You couldn't do vacation anywhere where there's no McDonald's. You could maybe save some up, carry it with you. But of course, McDonald's gets worse and worse the longer that it's been prepared, so like any food. But it would change a lot of your life, wouldn't it? You'd have to stay close to McDonald's. You couldn't go certain places. You couldn't participate in certain events, or if you went to other dinners and things, then you'd just sit there and watch everyone else eating because you don't eat their food. And all in all, this experience of just living for McDonald's would kind of limit your choices, right? It would make a world that has hundreds and thousands of different food types into a very monotone world. And as you continued living this McDonald's dedication, you know, the food that you enjoyed so much at the beginning, after you're only eating it for quite a long time, will probably not be as good to you later, right? So I think you'd say this is absurd to just eat at McDonald's, and anyone who does it is certainly crazy, and I probably agree with you. Well, imagine one other setting before I tell you about where this is going. That is, now you're only going to eat Mama's home cooking. How about that? Well, Mama's cooking. She's much better than McDonald's, you know, and at least, you know, if your mother's a good cook. And that would be another way. You know, I love my mother. I want to show her that I love her, so I'm only going to eat her cooking from now on. You know, you can make better comparisons about taste, about a lot of things, but, you know, there's going to be issues. At some point, you're going to have to leave home. Well, you don't have to. A lot of people are staying at home for a lot longer periods nowadays for financial reasons and other reasons. But if you wanted to leave home, if you wanted to start a relationship, if you wanted to study, it would make it difficult, you know. It would be quite a logistical undertaking to have your mother send food to where you were. I mean, it would be a complex thing. And at the end of the day, it wouldn't be any better than the McDonald's solution, probably, just because it limits your options, your choices, and your ways of getting fulfilled. Now, imagine for a moment that this McDonald's or Mama's home cooking example was the same as only accepting love from one person. Oh, wow, I found this person, and the love they give in whatever form they give it, I absolutely love it. Maybe it's the touch, maybe it's the sex, maybe it's the intimacy, maybe it's the cuddling, maybe it's the conversations we have, maybe it's the beachfront walks, and maybe you decide after you found this person, okay, I'm not going to do any of that with anyone else. I'm not going to go to coffee with anyone else. I'm not going to be touched by anyone else. I'm not going to have sex with anyone else. I'm not going to talk about my intimate topics with anyone else. I'm just going to be with this person. I mean, it sounds good, right? You have this person, you love them, you care about them, you enjoy being together. Why not? Well, could it be that some of the same things that will happen in your McDonald's example also happen with this type of situation? That maybe as time goes on, you have to have this person around you to get specific needs met. If you're only going to have sex with this person, then this person has to be there when you want to have sex. Not only that, this person has to want to have sex when you do. Now, McDonald's will, if you give them enough money, always be willing, or almost always be willing, to sell you what you want to eat from their menu. Although they do have certain times where you can only order breakfast or whatever, depending on where you're at. But what about another person? Does another person Are they always willing to engage in what you want to engage in, to do what you want to do? Always ready to talk, always ready to cuddle, always ready? Of course not. And why should they be? There's 7 billion people on this planet. Why have you given a monopoly over the fulfillment of your emotional needs to one person? Now, when I'm talking about it like this, it sounds crazy, but this is the way that we think about relationships. If I love someone, if I really care about them, then I'm going to go into a deep connection with them, and I'm going to devote my life to them. Then we should be there for one another. We should be there exclusively for one another. We should be solving each other's problems and issues. There should be love and depth in this connection. This is how it should be. And this is how we've taught it should be. But does this make sense? From a business perspective, this doesn't make sense. From a where to eat food perspective, this doesn't make sense. Why does this make sense from an emotional perspective? Well, I think a lot of us, when we find something that tastes especially good, we decide that we want to have as much of that as possible. We almost try to hoard it. Well, how do you hoard something? How do you hoard a person? The way you hoard a person is to try and make them promise to give you all of that which you want from them. In most cases, the big one is sex. If you give someone else your sexual energy besides the person who you've promised to give all of your sexual energy to, then you're considered unfaithful. Well, unfaithful, untrue. And why is that? Because in the contract that you made, all of the energy that you had available, you promised for this person. Well, what happens to this? After you make this promise, and it doesn't matter how open your heart is when you make it, what was voluntary and fun and open becomes involuntary, contractual, businesslike, and closed. And so even the person who wanted to do all sorts of wonderful things for you, and you wanted to do all sorts of wonderful things for them, all of a sudden they sort of have no choice now. They've made this decision from now how they're going to be forever, and who can make that decision? And they have to provide you with whatever it is you think you need. And if you have other needs that come up, desires, ideas, you have to either work through this person or not at all. And even if the person really enjoyed giving you what you wanted at the beginning of this whole series of events, then the question is, will they enjoy that forever? If there are time after I love making pots, after I've made 100,000 pots, maybe I've made 100,000 pots for one person, do I get tired of making pots for a while? Do I want to do something else? You know, it doesn't matter how much I enjoy something, I need a break from it sometimes, don't I? And variety is the spice of life. In fact, there's a quote, intelligence craves variety. So anything that I think I'm completely happy with, I may not necessarily be happy with if I have to do it all the time, if I enjoy it only that all the time. And how do people react if you take away from them this one exclusive source of whatever it is that you're giving them? Well, if I have one place to get my sexual needs met, and that place decides not to fulfill my sexual needs or isn't available, then it's like taking away heroin from a heroin addict. Wait, you can't do this to me. You have to do this for me. You get a really panicked reaction, as if you didn't have any food. Well, when you're in panic, when you're in fear, you say things, you do things that don't make a lot of sense because you're trying to find strategies for getting this need met all of a sudden, but you don't have any guarantee that it's going to work. So you try all sorts of crazy things, from like a two-year-old, from temper tantrums to trying to be cute to whatever else. And if none of it works, you feel rather upset because your contract has been broken, right? So we have the typical nuclear family, And let's say daddy is out earning money, which may or may not be, doesn't matter, could be mommy, could be daddy, or and the other parent is home raising the children. That puts us into these roles to fulfill certain expectations of others that are absolutely massive, aren't they? How long are you going to do this one role? What happens if you fail? Is there a backup if daddy gets sick? Well, we've tried to fulfill this with lots of government and social, but that hasn't really worked. So what happens if mommy doesn't want to take care of the child for a day, a week, or a month? Is there any backup there? Usually there isn't. So we put ourselves in these very straitjacket, similar to straitjacket, social contracts, family contracts, relationship contracts. And once we're in these, we feel a bit trapped and feel like we have to do that which we've contracted to do. A friend of mine recently wrote, she just had a baby. She said, when can I enter real society again? She has real needs, community, friends, enjoying other people. And yet she feels like she's stuck in this mother role for the next who knows how long, which she doesn't want to be in, not exclusively. Right? So if you see this, the way our families are set up, it reminds me of a scripture that Jesus said. He said, you know what? If you have to give up your mother or your sister or your brother for me, you're going to get hundreds more in this life. And that's a very interesting concept. What are 100 mothers, 100 sisters, 100 brothers? Well, that which your mother does, your sister does, your brother does, is basically the same thing that any friend can do for you, right? You don't just need to limit your connections and your depth to this one person to fulfill these needs, do you? So when you have some sort of a binding tie between yourself and a community, then you have a lot of people to fulfill these roles and to fulfill these needs for you. So let me give you two solutions that I have discovered for the problem of monopoly of emotional fulfillment. And the first one is community. We need to get away from the idea that all of our needs are going to be met by the four people at our house. As Marshall Rosenberg says, you know, there's 7 billion people to fulfill any given need of yours. And they enjoy fulfilling those needs. We like nothing more than to make other people happy. And it's not like when I give someone a hug that I have less hug to give. It's not like it hurts me to fulfill other people's needs. You know, and if I don't want to cook, I don't cook. There's a lot of people who do enjoy cooking and sharing that with other people and seeing them have joy. So why don't I release the pressure a bit on my closest family members to actually fulfill my needs and open up the possibility that other people outside my closest ties and connections can fulfill these needs. And this is what community is about. And the rise of Facebook, other social media, all these things point to the fact that we've lost our community. We've substituted community and connection and closeness with financial situations. Now we don't help each other with babysitting. We take our children to preschool. Now we don't carpool, we all take the bus, or, you know, when there were no financial solutions for a lot of life's problems, we had to help each other out. And now we don't really as much anymore. Now we sort of use money as the intermediary to manage our relationships, but that's not community. And I'll talk deeper about community in another segment. And the other thing that I can suggest is that you get rid of this exclusivity in your relationships. So why do we need to just be cuddled, hugged, or touched by one person? It makes absolutely no sense at all. There's people out there who have tons and tons of love, cuddle, touch. Lots of people who will do it, or one person who's very abundant in giving them. There's other people who have none. And for me, this is equivalent to people starving in the street and other people walking by with, sumptuous gourmet meals and ignoring those who are starving. the need for touch, the need for intimacy, the need for sexuality, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, sexual gratification and expression is on the very bottom, along with food, sleep, all of these things, shelter, right? This isn't one of those things that you can just simply go without forever with no problems occurring, as we see when we look at the Catholic priests and the nuns and all the things that happen when we start denying our basic needs. So anyway, and it, you know, if you can and if you do, that's fine. It's fine as well. But if you do have these needs, and many, many of us have these needs, whether it's closeness, whether it's being understood, and a lot of times we translate that into sex when that's not really what we want, and I'll talk about that later as well. But if we do have these needs, then first of all, we don't need to have an exclusive provider for these needs. There's no logical reason to do so. And second of all, we should be looking at everyone around us with a heart of compassion, realizing that they are as much the divine as we are. And every religion says this different way. Jesus said, if you've done it to anyone else, you've done it to me. And we could also say, if you've done it to anyone else, you've done it to yourself, which is why he said, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. This means all others. And, you know, would you like it if someone said, well, you know, I can't hug you, I can't cuddle you, I can't provide any emotional support with you for you because I'm already signed up with someone else? Assuming that person is not there at the moment, that person doesn't need that person at the moment, how does that feel? Or would you rather they said, hey, come here, you know what, I see you need some help, you need some support, let me give it to you, and enjoy making no one poor, making all of us the richer in our having our emotional needs fulfilled. Well, if that's what you want people to do to you, then you need to act that way towards other people, which may seem a bit strange at first. But a lot of us are waking up to the fact that, hey, these ideas that have been passed down from our parents and our older generations don't fit us anymore. We're looking for something new, and we want something different to happen. So try this out. Try out opening yourself to get your needs met by someone who's happy to get the needs met. You know, the grandparents love to watch the kids. Other friends can watch kids, you know, for even friends who don't have children. For them, it's something new and different. For you, maybe you've got children around you all the time. And try to solve these problems without money. Maybe say, hey, you know what, I'll make you dinner if you can watch the kids or something like that. You know, we can find ways of giving each other things joyfully from our hearts that don't limit or make anyone the loser in this transaction, so to speak. And that's the beginning of true community. And so I'll speak more about true community, non-exclusivity later. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about our monopolies. And if we don't like monopolies in business, I wonder why we should like them in relationships. Look forward to your comments. Thank you very much.